going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master. Though the loss sustained, our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Flip on over to the next page. There shall be showers of blessing.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
And then let's go over to the front of the book here. The Church in the Wildwood, be the second page in.
There's a church in the valley by the wildwood, a lovelier spot in the dale. No place is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. The church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale.
And let's just go over across the page to precious memories.
Precious memories, unseen angels sent from somewhere to my soul. How they linger ever near me, and the sacred past unfold. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scene unfold.
Brother Ed Deal, would you please open us up in prayer?
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. It was good for my mother. It was good for my mother. It was good for my mother. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. It was good for my father. It was good for my father. It was good for my father, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. religion. Give me that old-time religion. And it's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. It's the old-time religion. And it's good enough for me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, always at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long.
All right. Got an announcement here. Would the person with the horse license plate number, your lights are on. Welcome to Old Fashioned Sunday. I'm glad that each one is out here today. Take your time, brother. This is not an Amish service today. However, we do have a Yoder present today. Doing better too. Good to see that. Welcome to each one, and let's just greet one another by standing, getting out in the aisle, shake some hands right now, shall we? You guys look so good. Did you take your picture yet? You'll have to do that out there. Yeah, we got to get your shot. Thank you so much for doing that for me.
Test. Hello. Thank you.
right. Let's find our seats. We're actually going to wait today because you got to get your books out. Turn to the Old Time Religion. We'll see how well you guys can sing this in comparison to the chord. Here we go.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough.
Let's do that again.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me.
All right. Don't you love old-fashioned Sunday? Having a good time today. Let me point out, in case you haven't heard already, we do have an extra refrigerator on second floor if you have something to put there before we start the service. Extra microwaves in the kitchen, too, so there's no need to be doing any prep during the service. We've taken these steps, all right? And let's bring it all to the Lord in a word of prayer. Right now, let's remember some of our own hurting, not feeling well, those with cancer, those with surgeries, some in our extended networks as well that we've been bringing up in our prayer request times, a couple travelers too, so let's just bring it all to the Lord in a word of prayer right now. And Brother Jones, would you lead us, please? Thank you. All right, she's going to come sing one for us, but let's go ahead and find our places in the book of Proverbs today. Proverbs chapter 22. I was mentioning about being in the service, the microwaves, the fridge, and all that sort of thing. Let me also add that if you need to use the restroom, remember it's right over here. Okay? I think we can hold it, right?
Try to sing now.
Up in the attic, down on my knees, lifetimes of boxes, timeless to me. Letters and photographs, yellowed with years, some bringing laughter, some bringing tears. Time never changes the memories, the faces of loved ones who bring to me all that I come from and all that I live for. Men and shepherds down on their knees, bringing their treasures to lay at his feet. Who was this wonder, baby yet king, living and dying, he gave life to me. Is more than an heirloom to me. My precious Jesus is more than an heirloom to me.
Man, that's a blessing. And there's something to be said about the old-fashioned way of doing music too, isn't there? Sound and everything. We've lost something, haven't we? Proverbs 22, verse 28 is perhaps the most applicable verse to the 21st century that we live in today. It commands us, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." You know, we like to talk about the good old days. Sometimes we long for the good old days. I've got a feeling that we would miss a whole lot of our modern-day conveniences if we were to go back there. But how can we hold on to the good of the good old days Remember when? Say amen if you remember when you cleaned your rug by hanging it up and hitting it with a stick. You won't admit that? Raise your hand if you could walk to the grocery store and rattle off your list to the clerk and then he would fetch the things for you. Anybody like that? Just a few that way. When the movie theater was cheaper on Saturday and you didn't have to worry about the content that you'd see. Remember that? When you got the latest news from the radio. Several that way. When the doors of your home never needed to be locked. When you didn't know that you were poor because everyone was just like you. Man, if I knew I was poor, I'd have been depressed. Missed out on that. Anybody here remember when hobos would stop by your house for food and do a chore? Remember when you knew all the neighbors? Remember when mother would can all the vegetables she could before winter? And there was no AC, but you didn't know you were hot because it was always that way. You remember when at school you were expected to pay attention and do what you were told the first time? When most men worked 6 days a week? When doctors made house calls carrying all they needed in that black bag? You remember when gay meant happy? When a mouse was a rodent, not something on your desk? Downloading was how you got hay into the barn and a website was where spiders lived? Remember when mom said time out, it meant time out in the woodshed? When you hoped it wasn't raining, when you needed the restroom? Well, how many here drank from the hose and had a crib that had lead-based paint and wore no seatbelts, but you're still alive? Would you say amen? All right. Listen, our society has come a long way in so many ways. For much of it, we can be glad, but unfortunately, we've lost some things, haven't we? We've lost some things, and our society also feels like we've outgrown our need for God. Well, we need some old-fashioned preaching, and that's what I want to share with you today. With no PowerPoint whatsoever, you're going to have to focus now the way it used to be. No pictures worth a thousand words, no entertainment necessarily. We need some old-fashioned preaching. That's what we need. You say, what is old-fashioned preaching? Well, some would say it's a tone of voice, or running the aisles, or jumping pews. But truly, what is the characteristic that sets the old preaching apart from this stuff that we're hearing today? I believe what we need to get back to is bold preaching without compromise. I believe that what the quality that we want to hold on to when we talk about the old-fashioned preaching is the bold-fashioned preaching without compromise. I believe one of the greatest reasons for America's moral washout is the watered-down sermons coming from our pulpits. We need today preachers to stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," without apology, without trying to tickle ears, as the New Testament says some will come along and do in order to build a crowd. We need preachers to say, "Thus saith the Lord," without apology. A preacher without boldness is like a knife without an edge. A preacher without boldness is like a gun without bullets, or like a truck without four-wheel drive. It's just not right. You know what I'm saying? People today are very bold in their sin, aren't they? Now, if people can be so bold in their sin, shouldn't we truth-tellers be able to stand up with boldness and tell the truth? People today are bold with their sin. They're out of the closet. They flaunt it. They brag about it at the water cooler. Sometimes even Christians are bold about their sin, saying, "That's just who I am. You can deal with it. You can like it or you can lump it." Listen, preachers ought to be bold too in crying out against sin. The need of the hour is prophets of God saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I like what Billy Sunday said. He lived in the early 1900s. He preached boldly against sin. He was a drunk before he was saved. He preached against the wickedness of addictions and things. He was highly qualified to do so. And one day he was asked, "Would you tone it down? Would you stop offending people?" And then they said this. They said, "You're rubbing the cat's fur the wrong way." I like his reply. "Let the cat turn around. There's a way to fix this problem." Well, bold preaching is avoided these days. It's feared and cowered down from in the 21st century, but not in the old days. No. What was the difference that made any difference back then? It wasn't the man. It was the message. This message. It wasn't about how rough that it was. It was about how real that it was. It wasn't about how it was said so much as what was said. We need to hold on to those concepts. It's not just about how loud it is, but how lived that it is, how real that it is. Do you practice what you preach? Good preaching is not just good acting, it's good accuracy. It's not just about the personality of the one standing there, but about the purity of that one. Not about walking on eggshells, it's supposed to be about stepping on toes. The truth hurts. Can I have an amen today? Sometimes the truth hurts. Now, I will admit that in our circles, we need some more love. We need some more acceptance. And so when we talk about the old-fashioned way, let's not forget that. That was a part of it. It's not about a fiery delivery as much as it's about faithful content, not just some guy pounding, but about God producing as some guy is proclaiming. However, let's add some balance to this. The fire today is almost gone out. We need to find the fire again. Now, though I've just said that the fire wasn't the man, it was the message. Though it wasn't delivery, but the content, listen, the fire will cause more people to listen. We need to find the fire again. I need to find the fire again. One day a young preacher asked John Wesley how to get more people to come hear his preaching. He said, I want bigger crowds. How do I get more people to come hear me? And John Wesley replied, preacher, allow God to set you on fire and people will come to watch you burn. Well, I'm sure there's some that would like to burn me in effigy, but I would like rather for God to set me on fire for Him. Pray for me that the fire of my content, which I know exists, will fully spread to my delivery. And don't hesitate to help either. You know, I need your help. Like saying amen once in a while. Did you know saying amen to a preacher is like saying sick 'em to a dog? We like that, don't we, Brother Mike? We like that sort of thing. So feel free to help out a little bit. Here's what we need. Bold preaching. It's clear, it's concise, it's direct. It should feel like it's aimed directly at you sometimes. It should feel like, hey, he was looking at me when he said that. The dedicated Christian should seek out a church where they can be uncomfortable. Isn't that the kind of church you want? Kind of place where you can be uncomfortable? Now, a lot of people today, they're looking for a place where they can be comfortable. Tell me everything that I want to hear. And again, we need more love. We need more uplifting. We all need encouragement. But how about the truth that sometimes hurts? How about that? I want a church that makes me feel uncomfortable sometimes. I want a preacher that makes me feel uncomfortable sometimes, that steps on my toes and challenges me sometimes. What are we here for? Is this a social club or is this the church of the living God? That's what it is. And so if once in a while you feel like that preacher's been reading my mail or talking to somebody about me, give God the credit, would you? And His Holy Spirit, who knows just what we need, the only one who can take one person and deliver a message from His Word and it apply differently to each and every person in a miraculous way. It's powerful. Well, these days, the fire's gone out in preaching. One time a little boy came home from church. His mom asked him, what'd the preacher preach on today? The kid thought for a second, scratched his head, and said, he didn't say. Have you ever sat under preaching like that? I hope you don't say amen to that one. I don't know what he talked about. Unfortunately, around our city, in many places, across our nation, compromising, pussyfooting, panty-waist preachers stand up and try not to rock the boat, try not to offend anyone, and of course they offend the best of their people who flock to churches like this that preach the Bible without compromise. Talk 30 minutes without saying anything? No. Your time is valuable. I respect your time. I appreciate the fact that you would come and hear me speak. And I reckon that it's not about me, it's about what I'm speaking. That's what you want to hear, right? Okay. I thought maybe it was the jokes. No? Okay. D.L. Moody said, good preaching will make people get right or get mad and get out. That's what good preaching will do. It's one way that you'll know that you're sitting under good preaching. Three areas where we need some more old-fashioned preaching. Number one, we need some old-fashioned preaching against sin. Old-fashioned preaching against sin. Why? Because we're all sinners. And as sinners, what do we do? What do we do best? We sin. And that's what we do worst, is sin. Sin. Not an indiscretion. Not our weaknesses. It's not an accident. God calls it an abomination. Stop calling it a blunder when it's blindness. We sin not by chance, but by choice. It's not just our fascination, it's a fatality. We call it an infirmity. The Bible calls it iniquity. It's not luxury, it's a leprosy. Liberty. It's not a trifle, it's tragedy. It's not a mistake, it's madness. It's not weakness, it's willfulness. That's our problem, it's sin. Now listen, I believe in being positive. I believe in sharing the good news. But let's remember that there is no good news until you face the bad news. What do we need to be saved from? Until we talk about the bad news, we're all sinners. We talk about the wages of sin. But the gift of God is eternal life, the good news. It makes the good news so much better. Now imagine, if you will, with me, a mail carrier. A mail carrier who doesn't give you all your mail. We need preachers who will deliver all of God's mail, amen? And that includes the bills, the negative things that we don't like to see in our mail. You know, God sends us bills once in a while when He reads our meter. And He delivers to us a summons to appear before Him in His throne. All we've got today going around is junk mail and how to feel good about ourselves and how to add to society and be happier and make more money. The Bible's about something else, isn't it? We need preachers who will tell it like it is. We need preachers who will remind the congregation and remind the world that abortion is murder, not a choice. Homosexuality is an abomination, not just an alternate lifestyle. And though we love the homosexual, God hates the sin, tells us to preach against it. We need preachers to tell it like it is, that alcoholism is a sin, not a symptom. It's not just a habit, it's horror. We're talking about adultery from the Bible, not an affair, which sounds so sophisticated, doesn't it? Oh, an affair. The Bible says it's adultery. It's more than just a one-night stand. It's one nasty sin. There is no safe sex outside of marriage. We need some more old-fashioned preaching against sin. Number two, we need some old-fashioned preaching about hell. About hell. I want to be a preacher like Jesus, who preached on hell, the destiny of the damned. Jesus mentioned hell twice as much as He mentioned heaven. But today we're afraid to talk about it. We need more preachers, old-fashioned preachers like Jesus Christ, who will warn of the real place of fire called hell. It's eternal. It's damnation. It's real. You know, we moved here from the Bible Belt 10 years ago. So it was more than 10 years ago that I saw in our local newspaper, I was an associate pastor there, our newspaper had an ad from a local church, another local church, and the ad was clearly, in our minds, targeting our church because we're on the radio twice a day for half an hour every day and very well known, and we were the largest church in town. This ad targeted our church, and it read, quote, looking for hellfire and damnation preaching? Tear up this ad. But if you're looking for a church that preaches a loving, understanding, forgiving God, come give us a try. Most people in town knew what they were talking about, and man, did that ad drive good people to our church who tore up that ad and said, yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Hell, damnation preaching. Hellfire, damnation preaching. Let's never forget that the plan of salvation contains some very bad news at the beginning, but it makes the good news all that much better, doesn't it? All that we're safe from. We need more preaching against sin. More preaching, old-fashioned preaching against hell. Number three, old-fashioned preaching about sacrifice. About sacrifice. You see, we live in the day of comfortable Christianity. We're so comfortable. And, you know, what time is it? I wonder how long he's going to go today. Because I'm hungry and the food's burning in there. We're so comfortable these days. But Jesus, an old-fashioned preacher, majored on sacrifice. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Did you hear that? Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Now that's sacrifice right there. That's being willing to put someone else before you, their needs before you. Denying yourself means setting aside petty differences and saying, I'm going to get with the program. I'm going to go with God's program. I'm going to follow authority. I'm going to be in submission. Jesus preached old-fashioned preaching about sacrifice. One day a group of men said to Jesus, we'll follow you, Lord, whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said to them, foxes have holes, birds have nests, and the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. It was about sacrifice. He was serving notice. You want to follow me? I'm calling you to a life of sacrifice. To do without, perhaps. Well, today we've got a lot handed to us. And if we're not careful, we can lose it. We have a lot handed to us today. If it's not easy, I'm not interested. You know, we look for the most comfortable way. Jesus says, deny yourself and take up your cross. Let me read to you a note left on a desk by a dying missionary in Africa. It was found after his death, and I'm just going to read it. Quote, I'm part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look up, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith. I live by His, lean on His presence. I walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set. My gait is fast. My goal is heaven. My road narrow. My way rough. My companions few, but my guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. I will not hesitate in the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work until He stops me. Hey, we need some preaching like that. We need more preaching on sacrifice and on hell and judgment and against sin. And as I said at the beginning, we need more love. In other words, today's message, like most of them, starts with me. It does. And we need some more like you, some old-fashioned Christians who get seriously sold out for God, who believe in the old paths, and that they apply more today than ever, who will remove not the ancient landmark, Proverbs 22:28, which our fathers have set, who will believe that the God who has done it in the past can and will do it again right here if we'll follow His formula. We need some old-fashioned Christians who will get on their knees and beg God to do it again. Even today at an old-fashioned altar, and like me, say to God today, Lord, I'm not leaving my knees until You convince me that You're going to do it again in me and through me and at Grace Baptist Church, do it again. I'm not getting up until I feel confident that you're in this and that I'm with you, that I'm on board. And so with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, we've just looked at the simple, old-fashioned tenets of the faith today. We are sinners. Hell and judgment awaits unless we are saved. And listen, the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way. My sin was old-fashioned. My guilt was old-fashioned. God's love is old-fashioned. I know. And the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow. And so we're talking about the old-fashioned ways. And the challenge now is that we get on our faces before God at an old-fashioned altar. If you're here today and you've never been saved, if you're not sure if you died today, would you go to heaven? Would you come to this altar here in a while after the music and after we pray? We will all stand and then you can come. Come to me here at the altar and I'll pair you up with someone who will take you to a private room and take a Bible and help you get saved today. Now, this is a private moment. That's why every head is bowed and every eye is closed. So don't let me see your eyes right now, please. Let's truly make this between us and God. If you're here today and you're not sure if you are saved, then when the invitation comes, we'll invite you to come. Other people will be coming to pray at an old-fashioned altar. Christians, I challenge you to come and say, God, I'm not getting up till you convince me that you're taking us back to the old-fashioned ways. And if you need to be saved, you follow these that are coming. You follow them to an old-fashioned altar. Come to me, and privately, someone will help you get saved today after we pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for inspiring it, for preserving it, for giving it to us, for empowering us to speak it. May we speak it with boldness. Lord, I pray for the fire personally. I pray for the old-fashioned ways for our church corporately. I pray for someone to get saved today the old-fashioned way. And Lord, we don't want to leave our knees this invitation until you've convinced us that you can and will do it again right here. As you've done before, do it again as we get back to the formula. And it's in Jesus' name that we're proudly able to pray these things. Amen. Heads are bowed. Eyes are still closed. Let's stand quietly and reverently where we are, but then let's just step out. Would you join me at an old-fashioned altar today? Prayer warriors, would you come and pray for the old-fashioned way and ask God to convince you of it, as I do today? Join these that are coming. If you need to be saved, I'm watching for you right now. Would you come to me? Come to Jesus. Not sure if you're saved, you come right now. I'm watching for you. There's still room on one side, or you can use the front pew as some are doing. There's room at the cross. There's room at the old-fashioned altar. No more smooth knees. In the old-fashioned way, we get on our knees before God and say, God, I'm drawing a circle around myself and telling you to revive what's inside this circle, and I'm not getting up till you do it.